Okay, welcome to Teaching Writing. In today's episode, I'm speaking with Bova Samuels of the University of Toronto and Jordana Garbati, who's at the Wilfrid Laurier University in Waterloo, Ontario. Recently, they published a book with Sage called Mastering Academic Writing. And we're here to ask them some questions about how they came up with this idea and what's behind this book. So welcome, Jordana.
Hi there, Roger.
And Bova.
Hi, Roger.
I was really impressed when I first got the book. I think it's really an interesting book, and that's why I thought other people would want to hear about it, and hence we're doing this interview. And thanks for joining me. My first question is this. So you both have a wealth of experience in writing centers, and it shows in this book. How does that background inform the approach you took?
You're right, Roger. Both Jordana and I have worked in writing centers for a long time. We both love working in writing centers and with writing center people. The writing centers, in our view, are really unique in university environments. Given how unique they are, they vary right across the country and internationally. But at the same time, we have these very common concerns and strategies that we use and success stories. Our background, I think, is something that we've discussed before. Several years ago, Jordana and I went to a conference in Paris, and we presented a paper about our experiences as writing center professionals. So we talked a little bit about some of our struggles. And at one point, one of these writing instructors put up her hand, and she shouted, "Yay, sisters!" And that's, I think, exemplative of the kind of writing community that we have. We share a lot in common, and I think that that is something that drove us to write this book from a writing center perspective. We wanted to share and collaborate.
We also see so much in our writing center work that maybe within departments people don't see. So the writing center is that community of learners, of educators that are all working towards common goals of developing student writing, teaching about academic writing. So the writing center is that center where people can go to for support. So we wanted to showcase that work, and the book, the structure of the book, gave us that opportunity.
If I can pick up on some of what you just told me, you see a lot of different students from around the university, and you see them in a context which is not sort of like in a class, so it enables you to work with students in a little bit of a different kind of relationship.
Exactly. In my own writing center, it's a peer-to-peer learning environment, so students are working with other students to develop their writing and to provide feedback on their academic texts across disciplines, so it's a really interesting area to work in.
I can't say enough good things about the peer-to-peer stuff. I just think there's an enormous amount of learning that can happen there. I've seen this in some of the stuff we've been doing here. And I just think that's a real advantage. And it would be great for other instructors to sort of rethink or think about how they might work that into what they're doing.
I agree. I work at a writing center that isn't a peer-to-peer model. But at the same time, I think that there are many things that I try to bring in with students. As much as possible to work with TAs, for instance, for writing instruction.
I think one of the most important things about this book is where it's coming from and who's writing it. So I think your book is really distinctive because it comes from two writing center professionals writing it, and you bring a different perspective to it than, say, I would as an instructor, because you just think differently about your teaching environment.
Agree. I think definitely the writing center influence is evident in our conferences, as you know, Roger, the Canadian conferences, between the Writing Center conference and the more research-oriented conference. I think we complement each other really well, those approaches.
Well, when I was looking at the book, I noticed that there were two what I would call sort of genre-driven chapter titles, and there were six that were more focused on writing skills, if you want to call it that. So can you kind of lead us through the process of coming up with this organization?
The actual end result, as you pointed out, two genre chapters and six that are more general writing, wasn't particularly intentional. Originally, we had planned on having all genre-related topics, but then that didn't work very well. What really drove our organization was that we believed we should focus on very particular actions, in the sense of Carolyn Miller, genre as action. So we wondered, what is it that students struggle with, and what is it that they need to master? And we know students struggle to identify and articulate arguments. So we knew that some sense of argumentation is inherent in most academic writing, and so we wanted to focus on that particular kind of writing in a chapter. Then we thought about, you know, writing a lit review, not so much as a genre of the lit review, but what is it that students need to do when they're writing that review? Mm. So the sense of action, group writing is challenging. We wanted to write the book by addressing the kinds of topics we felt students most needed and would most effectively respond to.
So we wanted the book to be really accessible, again, for a diverse group of students. This is meant for an international audience. And of course, students can read the book from front to back, from chapter one to the end. But if they're really having challenges, let's say, with group writing, they can skip ahead. And our references to previous chapters within that final chapter, but that's what they're really focused on, and that gives them something to really go to.
So when you say that students can read the book or work through the book in various different ways, which is obviously true, do you think that students would be able to sort of work through this book more or less on their own outside of a class context?
That's an interesting question. I think it's entirely possible. We designed the book so that there would be exercises throughout that students could practice some of the skills that we introduced. So yes, I think students can do that on their own.
I agree. And in addition to working on their own, if they do work on their own and then come to a challenge, something that they don't understand, then they also have the language to bring to a writing professional or their professor to say, I was trying to work through my literature review and I got stuck on such and such. It gives them more language or strategies to work with other professionals to help them along.
Let's move on, and I want to ask another question. In one of the two chapters, which is not a skills kind of chapter, it's chapter 6 on scholarship proposals, I really noticed the use of John Swale's CARS model, the creating a research space is what the CARS stands for. And I was wondering, why does that model not show up in chapter 1, which is on developing an argument, but does show up in the scholarship proposal chapter? Is there a reason you located it in one place rather than the other?
Absolutely, yeah. We were very deliberate in that. We know Swale's work was done specifically in relation to research article introductions. Because it's about introductions, it might have made sense to have it at the beginning of the book. However, we really wanted to focus on argumentation first because we thought that's one of the most important foundational skills students need to learn. It didn't quite make sense to use the CARS model for argumentation. The CARS moves don't apply particularly well to argumentation, in my view. So the idea of establishing a territory, a niche, occupying that niche, those are moves that we felt apply much more effectively in scholarship writing. I first came across that notion through a couple of colleagues at Laurier when I was working there, Dang Trong, and Kathy Schreier as well did some work around that at Waterloo. They applied rhetorical genre analysis to scholarship proposals and used CARS moves, and I thought that that was really insightful and very helpful. So that's why we use it in our chapter on scholarship writing.
Yeah, and the other thing I thought about when I was looking at it was, probably isn't the first thing you want to hit a student with in chapter one.
Yeah, so the CARS model is a great model, and it is well received by students once they have a start or they've started to explore a topic area. But it can also be really overwhelming because there's a lot of terminology and things that they need to think about. So maybe starting with argumentation is the first step, and then moving to CARS, more advanced work, different work is more appropriate.
That makes a lot of sense to me. Besides John Swales, who else influenced your work in this book?
Carolyn Miller's concept of genre social action, I think that's primary insight and foundation for our work. In addition, as well, Kathy Schreier's expansion of genre, thinking about it as stabilized for now, that's really important for us because we do work with people who have genres of writing, a particular essay, a lit review, a scholarship proposal. So these are genres that, in addition to being actions, they're actual texts that you can look at and analyze. So those concepts have been really important to those scholars. John Bean, he's someone that we draw on a lot for teaching in terms of writing pedagogy. Other Canadian writing researchers, there's so many people. Natasha Artemiva with her work on genre and engineering students, just so many that we could talk about.
And you sort of hesitate to mention anyone because you know there's a whole raft of other people that you would if you thought about it.
Absolutely. And then people outside of writing as well. I mean, I think a lot about Michael Tomasello's work on primate cognition and human cognition and language. People like Steven Pinker and Noam Chomsky, right? So there's so many people. Jordana has a lot of people from linguistics. So
yeah, Boba and I both have backgrounds in education, but we're certainly influenced by theories that we've learned both in our PhD programs in education, and my focus was applied linguistics, so people who are doing work in second language acquisition, second language teaching, second language writing, all of those people, if I'm not name-dropping them, they still influence the work that we do, and that not just in the book, but what we bring into our classrooms every day.
That really brings up an interesting question I think people might want to know a little bit more about. To what extent did you sort of frame the book or have in mind second language learners or second language acquisition?
Well, it was one of the goals of the book to think about the second language learner, English language learner, but we didn't want it to be a book focused specifically on English language learners. And we had discussions with our publisher and editor about that as well. We wanted elements and we wanted representation of English language learning within the book, but it wasn't the sole focus. So you do see some extra instruction or different instruction regarding English language learners specifically woven throughout the book. But some of the things that we see in grammar, for example, where many people are quick to point out this is an English language error, we see that for English language, first language students too. Even though you see something on grammar, we didn't intend it to be a specific grammar point focused for English language learners, because this is just grammar that can help all students.
Yes, and there's such a range between like a true second language learner and someone who is what they call a generation 1.5 language learner.
Exactly, it's so complex. And even when I say English as a second language, it's not always a second language. It's a third, it's a fourth, it's a sixth language.
Right.
So it's a very complex issue.
Well, here's a question I'd like to end with, and I'm really curious to know. So throughout the book, there's all kinds of what I would almost term kind of case studies, where there's a student and you get to learn a little bit more about where that student's coming from and what they're doing. Were those real students?
Actually, no. No, they weren't real people. They are made up, but they're made up based on students we know and based on tutors we know. So they're composites. You could call them composites. We could intermix the informal tone or the storytelling with the instruction. And so we got to know our characters quite well over the period of time that we were writing. What would Devin say? What would the listener respond to here?
That really ties into how we started this podcast, which has to do with your wealth of experience in writing centers. You've spent a lot of time there. You know them inside out. These students are composites, but they're composites that come from your experience.
Absolutely, definitely.
And I think the other feature of the book that I think we really should stress is that it has this kind of narrative component to it, where you're sort of following a student through their process or progress on an assignment.
Well, one of the things that we particularly wanted to build on that writing centers do so well is that you can see students more than once. We see students most of the time for multiple versions of the same text or different assignments. We wanted to share a little bit of that in the book to show that students do come back, that they don't have the same writing need that is addressed in one session and then that's it, they're done. Writing is something that needs development over time.
I don't think we can stress that enough, that a student doesn't learn to write once and for all and then they're good forever. It's a process. It continues over a long period of time, well before someone entered an instructor's course and well after.
Absolutely.
Thanks very much for spending this time with me. I really appreciate it.
Mastering Academic Writing is published by Sage Publications and available online at the Sage website and pretty much anywhere else you obtain your books. Teaching Writing is a podcast available at rogergraves.podomatic.com. I hope you'll follow the podcast and email me, roger.graves@ualberta.ca, with any comments or suggestions for future broadcasts.